You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard. And never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right. Then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. I am grateful and thankful for our sponsors, for our friends, for this great network, for our engineer, for all of you who listen. We are thankful. Thank you. And thank you to Dawnette's Dream Express for interviewing me and giving me a chance to inspire folks in the Big Apple. We've got you covered. You get to listen right now.
Dr. Dawn Karima, a magnificent woman, might I add. Hello, Dr. Karima.
Hello, how are you? I'm so happy and honored to be with you today.
Well, I am honored to have you. May I call you Dawn because my name is Dawnette?
I hope you will.
Okay, Dawn. As you know, my producer gets artists from all over the world, and she forwarded me your information in your bio a while ago, and I finally had a moment's peace, okay, because I haven't had much of that recently, and as I was reading it, I was blown away, and I immediately got in contact with her, and I said, get this woman. This woman is, this woman is out, whoever she is, whether she's on my show or not, I have to meet her. You know, water rises to its own level. So I was sharing with my producer that we have to rise to her level.
Oh, bless and, you.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yep. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I can go down your creds, but I'd rather you tell us about your credentials, everyone. This is Dr. Dawn Karima, and she resides out of where do you live, Dr.?
I live on the Quala Boundary Reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina, in the Great Smoky Mountains.
That is so awesome. My mother lives in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Beautiful place.
Yeah. So you're a Native American Indian. What tribe do you derive from?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I am the winner of a Native American Music Award, the winner of an Indigenous Arts Activist Award, a two-time Indigenous Music Award nominee, and I have two Global Music Award wins as well. So that is always a blessing to me. I do love my culture, and I do practice my Creek culture and traditions, and I am so thankful anytime I get to share those. And I am blessed by the wonderful ways I get to share in life. And one of those ways is my own radio show, A Conversation with Dawn Karima on TalkTainmentRadio.com and its affiliates. You can find us anytime, iTunes, podcast. You will love the positive energy and positive people that we share. I get to
share.
Can you
say that one more
music.
Time? What is your radio title again?
It's called A Conversation with Dawn Karima. And we visit with some of the most inspiring people you will ever meet. I mean, there are so many light workers, so many people doing marvelous things. And you know how it started is my day job is in television and radio broadcasting.
Okay.
And one night I was watching the news. I worked for a certain news network. And we were watching the news, my grandmother and myself. And she said, "This news is terrible. This is so negative, you know."
And it is.
Oh, well,
and
yeah,
it is.
It's kind of depressing. And she said, "Well, there's way more good people in the world than bad. The bad ones just get all the publicity.
The attention. Yep.
And that moment, it went off in my spirit. I've got to fix that. I can do something about that. And that's how my own show came to be.
Very, very cool.
That are happening in our lives and in our world. All of these people who are, you know, really laying down their lives and using their gifts and talents to help other people and solve problems and answer questions.
Right.
And so that's how A Conversation with Dawn Karima came to be. And we won the Indigenous Artist Activist Award for it. It was nominated for an Indigenous Music Award. The Women of Essence Global Music Award, I was nominated for it. Because
for
of the
Essence,
show.
Really?
And so we've just had some really tremendous, just wonderful feedback because people are hungry for positive news, good news, uplift, miracles, blessings, good things. And that's what we try to bring to the airwaves. And I try to bring that through my music, which you can find on iTunes, Amazon, anywhere they have good music.
Okay. And, I'm following you because I'm definitely following what you're saying. This is beautiful.
Well, it's all love, really. It's all love. It's the stars of heaven, the desire of nations. You know, you can get those wherever they sell music, CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon, and listen to some positive music. Both of those have won the Global Music Award, and the Desire of Nations, I won the Native American Music Award for that, and then the Stars of Heaven was nominated also for an Indigenous Music Award. So the music is positive, it's uplifting, it'll feed your soul, you can listen to it with your babies in the car or in front of your grandma without having to blush, and it will help. And then, of course, the writing that I do, my books. We have a new book coming out, Mother of Nations, from Uttered Chaos Press. That's my first collection of poetry. I have novels out already. And I have a Kindle book, What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do, which pretty much applies to everyone at some point in their life or another. So everything I do is just based on basically passing along the messages that the Creator puts in my spirit. And I believe that love is the Creator's first language. And so my music,
I believe that love is the Creator's only language.
That's right.
I really do. I really do.
And so I feel that.
But go ahead, because you're enlightening my spirit. You're enlightening my spirit, and I love it. It's part of my day that I normally try to download. I'm so used to being in front of a computer. To just relax, and I'm loving hearing you speak. But before you go on, I did want to ask you, what nation of a Native American do you derive from?
Oh, I'm Creek, and I mentioned that before, that I do practice my Creek culture and tradition.
Okay, I'm Cherokee, that's why.
Yeah. And I grew up...
That's why I wanted to know. I'm Cherokee, and my family derived, well, my maternal side derived from North Carolina, a place called Windfall, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I belong to the Panther Clan. I was born at the Will of the Red Paint Clan. My other two clans are Star and Tiger. And I also am a shell shaker in our stomp dance tradition. And so I practice our stomp dance culture and way of prayer. And I also am a Christian. My church is a wonderful Native American church congregation, and I have always enjoyed singing there as well. And so I feel like my culture informs a lot of what I do. Of course, if you listen to my music, you hear that I sing in Cherokee on a lot of the songs as well.
Really?
And so I feel like it's very important to embrace our cultures, but also it's important for us all to remember that we have a culture. You know, I run into people who say, oh, I wish I had a culture. I wish I had a language. I wish... Well, you do. Celtic is a culture. Gaelic is a culture. I mean, Slavic is a culture, right? There's lots. Everyone has a culture. Everyone has a heritage. And I encourage you to dig into yours. And, you know, our friends that are listening, dig into the culture. Dig into the family history. Dig into the stories. Find out what your ancestors have to give you as good medicine.
Right. I agree. I agree because they do have good medicine. And, you know, you were talking about your grandmother, and my grandmother is, she's up in age, you know. Mm-hmm. And recently, you know, my family and I are dealing with the health issues of my mother's mother and father. And I think about every day, I could be driving, and the things that she's taught me, and the way she taught me, and the unconditional love that she's given me, it's my Cherokee side, you know. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in everything that you're saying. And I can't wait to hear your music. I can't wait to hear your music.
Well,
are you able to
blessing.
Play a little bit of it or share a little bit of it with us today?
If you have some
show?
Of it there, I would love it if you would share. But folks can find it on iTunes and Amazon. And, you know, it's just the music is just another way to tell people that Creator loves you. It's just another
yes.
way to say, you know, I love you and Creator does too. And so you can dance to it, right? I mean, it's fun. It's dance tracks. It's inspiring. Indigenous inspirational is what we call it. And
okay.
it is a joy. It really is. And I think music is something that we can introduce to anyone. We can, you know, when someone tells you their favorite song and you listen to it, it opens a door for communication. It opens a
right.
door for to know something about them. But music also opens a door to culture. I mean, we have some great hip-hop artists on all these tracks, you know, Nightshield and In Dawn and Pen Smoke and Mr. Futuristic. We have some of Native America's
wow.
hip-hop artists collaborating with me and some of the DJs. You know, Native America has some fantastic DJs, DJ
wow.
T and Superman. And we just have some tremendous people that have given of their time and their talent, because all the profits from my music go to charity. So they've given their time and their talent. And a lot of folks don't even realize that Native America has such a thriving hip-hop culture. You know, they expect that we're going to always have drums and Native American flute, and we've got that too on all my tracks. I mean, we have a lot of variety. So, I mean, my Uncle Jay Red Eagle plays Native American flute on tracks. So does White Elk. We do have drums and traditional singing mixed in.
Now, I didn't know that Native Americans had hip-hop artists.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. You just educated
yeah.
me, because I did not know that.
And they're fantastic. That's the other part.
I believe.
yeah, they're on fire. And so I think a lot of times when we really created a genre. No one else was doing this when we started doing it. And I think when we all just sort of got there together and we said, okay, here's my gifts, here's my talents, right? Here's what I can do. Everybody started offering their talents and we all put it together. And it's just tremendous. It really is. But I think it also crushes sort of a stereotype that tribal people of all kinds, indigenous people from all different indigenous cultures,
mm-hmm.
sort of only exist in the past in static black and white photos. You know?
Right. With
so
feathers,
when people say,
wow,
you can
dance
to this. This has a beat to it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because we live now.
Right,
we're not
exactly.
Just, you know, we're right here, right now. We're not just chanting. You know, we do that too, but that's usually sacred and not for the public. But we
exactly.
have, you know, we do have music that we... that transcends everybody. So I'm amazed at how many people respond to our music. I was actually in a dance club in the Caribbean, and the DJ put it on, and everyone danced. And I thought,
well,
this is exactly
that's
how it
beautiful.
Should be, right?
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this conversation to your filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to me about that. Speak to me about that. Now, I know you're a Harvard graduate. Okay?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
I am.
And that is to be commended.
Well, I'm very blessed to have the opportunity and kind and generous parents to make it possible. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity. I have made films, and I have been blessed to make films that have done very well in film festivals and museum showings and screenings. And
now, are these
the
indie film festivals or...?
Yes, I mean, we've done
okay.
very well in lots of film festivals all over the world, and I'm always surprised by that, because even my filmmaking, once again, it's a labor of love. People come together, volunteer, work it out, you know. So someone once asked me at a screening what my technique was like, and I thought, my technique is pray and obey. That's it.
Right.
And so I have had the opportunity to make some films that have been a blessing. They've aired on Skinsplex. They've aired on other public television networks, and it's just been a blessing, you know. And even though now we have a book coming out, Mother of Nations, And that's what we're really focusing on right now. It has been a wonderful thing to be able to do films, you know, because I started by being in other people's films and other people's music videos. And then there were little stories that just little stories, just, you know, I have a film about the Trail of Tears, for example, which everyone knows the Cherokees went on, but they don't realize that the Choctaws, the Chickasaws, the Creeks, the Seminoles all suffered, and so did many other tribes from relocation as well. So it's a beautiful animated piece, The Worship of Angels, you know, where we talk about these things. And sometimes when we're facing these big issues, you know, one time I had a big problem, and I told my brother about this giant problem I had. And he said, huh, well, how do you eat a whale? And I thought, are you even listening to me? I'm telling you about my giant problem, and you're talking about eating whales. I said, why would I want to eat a whale? He said, but how would you eat a whale? I said, I don't know. He said, well, one bite at a time. And sometimes what films allow us to do is introduce who we are, what matters to us, what we care about, one bite at a time.
Right.
People,
now,
rather than jump up into someone's face and say, you're responsible for genocide and cultural appropriation and all these other things, we're able to say, here's something that we went through.
Right.
And then that elicits empathy. That elicits understanding. That elicits mercy.
Right.
And then
I agree.
It starts a conversation. And that's when you can tune into my show, Conversation with Dawn Karima, and listen to me have conversations with people about just these kinds of things. But sometimes songs, music, books, stories, people are more willing to start having conversations around those things. And they serve a real purpose in terms of uniting us. When we have people come to us and say, you know, this is my story, no one can deny you your story. They can't take your story.
Right.
And then someone else says, but this is my story. Did you know about the Holocaust? And this is my story. Did you know about ethnic cleansing? Or this is my story. Did you know about residential schools? And right away, we're all having a conversation instead of an argument.
Right. Beautiful. Beautifully. That's a beautiful execution of lifting up love. And vibration,
absolutely.
And the vibration of love. That's a beautiful execution. I commend you on that as well. Your films, let's get back to your filmmaking. What can you tell me about one of your films?
Well, I've told you about our film about the Trail of Tears. And like I said, books are what we're concentrating on now at this stage in life, and the music, of course, like that. So, I mean, we have made some beautiful films, The Elements of Ice, you know, The Worship of Angels, The Boundary of Moab, and those films have screened. And what
the
we try to do
Moab.
Is simply,
speak to me about the boundaries
about
of Moab.
I'm not
speak
necessarily known as a filmmaker so much as, I mean, I have made films, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But I think mainly it's about telling a story. And whatever media is the best way to tell a story at the time, whether it's the music, whether it's the books, whether it's, you know, it could be a film, you know, and we make more films in the future. We may, but it could also be the show where we're telling a story
into
another.
And you keep saying we and we. Who is the we? It's you and fill in the blank.
The we is who I mentioned earlier, the wonderful people who help me do what I do. Whenever I have a project, I always pray about it, and I get the idea from the Spirit, and I pray about it, and always God brings people alongside me to help. So I can't take credit for all of it. I can't say I made a Global Music Award, well, two of them, winning CD, or I did this, or I won that, or because always there are all these people who come to help. In the area of the book, Uttered Chaos is publishing this new book that's coming out. Laura LaHue is a great publisher. A terrific editor. I've always had good editors for all my books, really good publishers for all my books. The Marriage of Saints came from the University of Oklahoma's American Indian Studies series. The Way We Make Sense comes from Aunt Lute Books. You know, so I can't really say I, because it's always, first of all, God and myself and my family and my friends and my loved ones and my collaborators. Because the collaborators make it possible. I can't rap, So somebody's got to rap on this track. You know, we don't want it to be me. And so God for Night Shield and Mr. Futuristic and Pen Smoke and Endon and Native Superman and Jay Reddigal and White Elk and Anave and just more and more and more. Lido and White Bread and all these people who jump in with me and just believe it can be done because I believe it can be done. And so,
you're saying that you pray and then God brings the people to you for whichever project you're about to embark on. Is that what you're saying?
Always. Right, because I can't know everything. I'm not God. So I can't know how to run all kinds of cameras or I don't know how to get in the studio and mix up a track, but God knows exactly who does. You know, I don't have a publishing house, you know, but God knows who does. And those are the people who come and make it possible for me to do what I do. And I'm so grateful, and I just thank them all, and I thank God for them all.
Okay, so now let's take you back to graduating from Harvard. You have your degree in fill in the blank.
Oh, in social studies, and of course I have a master's degree now and a PhD now. So, I mean, when you think about, I guess we could go down memory lane, but the thing is that every step is a stepping stone, and I see it as a walk. I see it as a path. You know, I see it as nostalgia is a luxury that we don't have as tribal people. We are supposed to get what we get, and we're supposed to go forward and bring other people with us. And so I'm so blessed and thankful that I was able to go to Harvard and have a degree in social studies, and certainly that informs the book that I write.
That's where I feel like maybe the audience and myself would like to know, how did you go from getting a degree in social studies to all of this beautiful creative things that you're about today?
Oh, then I got a master's degree in fine arts from The Ohio State University. So, I mean, that's perfect. That ties in perfectly, right? I mean, I wrote my first novel, The Way We Make Sense, as my master's thesis. And then, of course, after that, the University of Oklahoma published The Marriage of Saints, which was a part of their American Indian Studies, their series. And so that's a natural progression. Social studies is a chance to study cultures and traditions and look at the way that we make sense of them, literally, in our own lives. The MFA is actually a chance to hands-on use your gifts and talents and get credit for it. You know, one of the things the MFA does is gives you time to create. While you're in a program for fine arts, they expect you to do fine arts. You know, so it gives you a chance to sing, a chance to write, a chance to create, and actually come away with a credential for it. And then, of course,
did you find it challenging when you went for your MFA? Did you find it challenging?
No, it was a lot of fun. And I really encourage artists put something underneath your talent. You know, I really, when I speak to young folks and I speak to people and I have a chance to really encourage them, you may be the best singer we know. Put something under it. You may be the next great artist. I believe you, but put something under it. Because with the MFA, it's a terminal degree, so then you can go on to teach college, which I've had the opportunity to do most of my life. And then the PhD, it's a natural outgrowth. My PhD is in Native American Studies and Film and Media Studies, which, of course, ties into everything else I had a chance to study. So I think the most important thing people need to learn about their own craft, their own call, their own gifts that God has given them and talents, how to be a good steward of that. How are you the best steward? You don't all have to go to Harvard. But what do you have to do in order to use your talents, your gifts, your abilities wisely and well? And when I think about that, I think that's something we have to encourage folks to do. I think in the arts especially, there's the myth of magic, you know, that a star is discovered sitting on the stool at a soda shop, or there's just suddenly someone woke up and they were just great at spoken word poetry and they got discovered, or they were singing, you know, somewhere, and someone heard them sing, and suddenly, oh, they had a recording contract. Those are wonderful things that happen. But there are also such things as working hard and being diligent and dependable and honing your craft and being educational, and especially for tribal people and people of color, there is a tendency to reduce us sometimes to, oh, well, you're natural storytellers. That's part of your culture. Well,
yes. And that, yes, I agree. And
you know, all people people from this continent are musical. Really?
Right.
Are they?
We get pigeonholed.
You know, so suddenly we have to come then and say, well, that may be true. I may have wonderful ancestral gifts and talents, but you know what? I can write a sonnet. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell you a story, but I can write a sonnet too. I know how to do haiku. I know how to do a lot of other things because I have the training and the education. And so that's why I would say to anyone thinking about the arts, put something under it. Don't just rely on the fact that people at your church think you can sing. Don't just rely on the fact that, you know, you are really good at slam poetry on open mic night. Put something under it. Whatever that is, whatever God gives you to do, but please do it.
Right, and put something under it, like you said. I want to ask you to speak to me about your book, The Marriage of Saints.
Because those books have been out for quite a while, and folks can find them easily. Libraries have them. They're easy to find. The Way We Make Sense, my first novel, comes from Aunt Loot Books. And then The Marriage of Saints, which has been out since 2006, I believe. It's part of the American Indian Studies series from the University of Oklahoma. And you can find both of those on Amazon. And you can find both of those, you know, pretty much wherever books are sold. And so I hope that you'll like them. And what's happening now is we are really excited about my new upcoming book, Mother of Nations.
I don't know if I would have known of any of your books, so that I wanted to take it from that into what you're doing now.
Are the books I wrote then, and this is what I'm doing now. I'm not sure they really tie together. I think each of them represents specific periods and places, and, you know, I believe God is doing new things, and I believe we do new things if we're following God. And so, like, The Marriage of Saints is a novel. It is primarily, you know, it deals a great deal with Oklahoma. The Way We Make Sense, my first novel, deals a lot more with North Carolina. I think that the thing about those novels is they were in a place. They are specifically in places, and they are family stories, which every good story really is, whether anybody tells you. Because they're so long ago, I think one of the things that happens with novels like that is they give us a snapshot of what was going on then. And I think that's what makes them precious. That's what makes them special and valuable. So both of The Marriage of Saints and The Way We Make Sense as novels are family stories. What happens in a Southern family? What's happening to this family as they try to navigate the world? And I think that's important because family stories are universal stories. You know, it's always interesting to me how many people, even all these years later, come to me and say, oh, I really can relate to this character because of this, this, and this. And on the surface, I think to myself, that's nothing like that character, until I realize, yes, it is, because the human condition is a very universal thing. We all want to be loved. We all have gifts and talents we want to use. We all want to find our place in the world. And so in those two novels, that's all the people are trying to do, and with what God has given them to do.
So speak to us about the novel that is being released. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, Mother of Nations is my first. It's a new thing, let's put it that way. Even though I started off with my earliest publications were as a poet. You know, they were. I mean, a lot of my publishing in magazines and journals and a lot of the awards I've won has been for poetry. But my books are primarily fiction and nonfiction. So it's kind of exciting that we have a chance to explore something new, explore something different, something that hasn't been done before, unless we look at the music as poetry. You know, I write my own songs and song lyrics, and a lot of people consider that poetry as well. And I think that however we call it, it has the same effect. It brings music into our souls. When we read poetry, it gives us rhythm and cadence and beat and meter and measure. And then when we hear music, it does exactly the same thing. And so I think that one of the wonderful things about poetry is that we have a chance to put music in front of our eyes and take it into our spirits by using words and line and text. And it gives us a pause sort of from the negative news or daily life or even gossip. And it takes us to a place in a different way that we might not have visited before. And so I think that's the power of poetry. I love my fiction books. I love my nonfiction books as well. You know, I have a book about multiculturalism and children's literature and spirituality. And, of course, I have What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do. And all of those have their place. But it's just kind of a new adventure to be writing about poetry. You know, to be writing poetry and only poetry and still telling the stories.
Okay. Well put. Well put. Beautifully put.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of this amazing conversation.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on and need to pray her. They pray her.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's take a sharp right turn and speak about the 501c3, your non-for-profit. What is it? What is your non-for-profit organization?
Well, I'll just do that really briefly so we can get back to the arts and just say that, well, the Victory Ministries is a labor of love. It really, truly is. You know, I started my career as a child, and a lot of people already know that. I started performing and modeling and pageants and all that as a child, and that's what led me to the career I have now. And one of the things we started to see touring the country and doing different, appearing on TV, doing different things, was that there was a tremendous space for giving.
Okay.
And so we created a nonprofit while I was still a student in school so that we would be able to accompany the things that I did with giving and outreach as well. So I may have come to your town to sing, but I also would have giveaways, clothing, food, school supplies, things like that as well, to try to create a balance. You know, and
well, the reason I ask is because I, during my day job, I work for an organization entitled the National Student Loan Service Center, and we help people with federal student loans, the forgiveness process of it.
Oh, wow.
And most of our clientele, I hate to say clientele, but I'm going to use that word for lack of a better term, are people who work for non-for-profits, 501c3s, public sector, all of that. And it just, when I saw 501c3, I'm like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we help the masses with their federal, not the private, the federal side of their student loans. And that's why it struck a chord in me.
Wonderful.
You can get back to the music.
I think
just
the word forgiveness brings hope to people's lives. I was blessed to go to school and be debt free. But I think that when I start hearing forgiveness, think about what you're doing. You're giving people a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them a chance to go forward in life unshackled, unhindered.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
Yep. Oh, sure. Sure it is. I am in the program, so you're absolutely right about being unshackled and getting a second chance, and it really does exist. It's just that people are not educated on their eligibility and their rights. So we go out and we educate.
Mm-hmm.
We educate.
Oh, wow. See, there's a real ministry in what you're doing because you are setting people free.
Yeah.
People did not know, and you empower them through knowledge, and now they know, and their whole life. You know, it's hard to follow the call of God on your life if you have weights chained to your feet.
Yeah, it's constant, and it's constant,
off,
you know.
Now you can run. Wow, that's tremendous.
Yep. So,
beautiful.
Let's go back to the music.
Okay.
Go ahead. You got it, baby. Tap dance. Go for it. I'm listening because I'm loving hearing you speak.
Well, one of the things I think we have to keep in mind about music is that, you know, it is a language and it is universal. And I have a song, I have a piece that I wrote about music, and it's in my new book, Mother of Nations. And I'm going to read it to you because I think it sums it all up, really.
Please do.
And I think that when we think about music and we think about what it means to different cultures, different people, individuals, because music isn't limited to culture. You don't have to be from a culture to love its music. And that's one of the wonderful unifying things about it. But it's called Fruit of the Womb. And this poem is about the power of music, the medicine of music, in tribal cultures, but that applies to all cultures because we're all tribal in one way or another.
Yes, that is definitely true.
Fruit of the womb. Each stomp, each step reveals the precious fruit of the sun, honors the precious things of the moon, secretly brought in thoughts. Our sleep flees until we call on one who will answer. Rise and tie shakers of earth and turtle heartbeats. Shake shells under songs. Each stomp, each step reveals Creator sitting on the circle of the world. We call him with tongues of fire. When he answers, the fruit of the womb is ours.
Wow.
Now that, to me, sums up the power of music.
That's beautiful.
When we can't think of how to pray in some situations. Some things are so heartbreaking and so hard that we can't even think of the words we should say to pray. And that's when we can sing. That's when we can allow our music, however that is to you and your culture and your life, to speak for us. That's why we've got so many heartbreak songs, right? That's why we've got so many songs about human conditions.
Probably.
It speaks to people.
We have a lot of heartbreak songs, and we have a lot of CODA songs, a lot of codependency songs.
We do. But a lot of songs, really, there are points that are universal. You know, there are just songs that speak to us at a certain time in life. We hear them, and they bring back memories of a certain summer or a certain dance that we went to. Or they bring back a memory of someone that we loved who used to sing that song to us. You know, that's the power of music, that music is medicine, and music is also prayer. And so I feel like a lot of our songs that we put out are just that. You know, the lyrics come to me in a dream, or they usually come fully formed, and then I take dictation. And then we put them to music, and then we involve the DJs or the producers or the musicians, you know, because I can't read music. I can't play an instrument. So we involve all the collaborators, and wonderful things happen. I'm always amazed, truly, by what God does when we surrender to him and we say we want to sing, we want to glorify your name, we want to make a praise to you.
It is tremendous. Your spirituality speaks volumes as listening to you. Were you always spiritual, even as a child, or was it something that came to you as you got as you started to grow up? Was it implemented in your home? You know, some people are blessed where they just come out the womb and that's it. Some people journey and it takes them on a course, and then they make a sharp left turn, and they end up someplace else. We all have our life design. Everybody's painting a picture, and the design is different. How did it come to you?
Well, I'll tell you.
When did it come to you? I think the better question is, when did it come to you?
Yes, and I'll give it to you this way. This is a poem called Echota, Tribal Psalm from Mother of Nations, and songs echo in the air. Memories and mountains told again in thunder, in drumbeats and dance. Dancers are our poetry, Warriors are our art. We hold our history in hawk and macaw feathers. The Trail of Tears wounded us in the house of our friends. The Chota faces tilted toward the whirlwind, waiting for spirit to do us justice. Come, Creator, hear and help. We call you most ancient of drums. I think that sums it up right there. I was born into a family of spiritual, prayerful people.
Okay.
And I can't remember a time from the womb when I was not praying and serving God in some capacity. I sang for the first time on a stage when I was right around preschool, kindergarten age. And I sang in churches my whole life, participated in ceremony and traditions. Basically, I was one of those people, and I spoke at a conference recently, where everyone there had a dramatic testimony. I mean, they had been to prison, they'd been married multiple times, they just had all these problems, they'd been addicted to stuff, and God delivered them. And every time they told their testimony, people clapped, they stood up, and they cheered.
Right.
I felt so bad because I didn't have a testimony. I don't have anything to say like that. I was raised in a wonderful home, a good, spiritual, kind family that loved God and loved others. And so I said, well, I don't have a testimony. I really don't. Not like that. I really don't. Nope. I put my hand in God's hand as a small child, and we've walked hand in hand, and I've had a beautiful life as a result. But I'll be your children's testimony. No matter what you've done, if you will raise your children to be people of faith and prayer and power, then they can have a life like mine. They can have, I mean, yes, it's wonderful if you get in a lot of trouble.
No, I don't have children, so I can't, you know.
Yeah, I do, and
but
a lot of people
I,
do.
If I did have a child, I'm sure that's the way I would grow them
up.
Oh,
sure, absolutely, because we want better for our children, right? The
right.
folks who testified about going to prison, I'm so glad God got you out and your life has turned around, but I'm sure you wouldn't want that for your children. And so I
right.
think there's a space for all of it, because here's the thing about a miracle. Everyone comes up to me after I speak, and I get to speak all over the world. I'm very grateful for it. I love it. In fact, that's one of my favorite things. I'd rather speak than sing at this point in my life. And I get to speak to wonderful conferences and congregations and just people all over the world. And one of the things that people always say to me is, I want miracles. I want miracles. I want miracles. And I always say, do you? Are you sure? And they're like, yes. Oh, yes, yes. But here's the thing about a miracle. You have to be in a pretty big mess to get a miracle.
Why do you believe that?
Every miracle starts with
you
being in a lot
That's
of trouble.
That's not necessarily true, Dr. Karima.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be in a mess to receive a miracle.
Well, we're talking about a certain level of miracle. I should make that clear. I'm saying, like, the folks who tell the story of disaster and chaos, and then people say, oh, I would like to have miracles like that. No, you'd like to walk in blessings. We're just one miracle after another, from blessing to good thing, from blessing to good thing. And so, yes, to answer your question so we can move on, I don't want to hold us up here, but I think that, yes, I was spiritual as a child. I mean, my first publication of a poem is at, like, the age of 9, I think, and it was all about spirituality. And then I've just walked with God ever since, as best I can. I mean, we're not perfect, any of us. We don't get it all right, and that's really important to remember, because a lot of times people say to me at speaking engagements that, you know, oh, well, I've messed up. Good. Thank you. You're human. We all have.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's not part of the plan. That doesn't mean that God doesn't still have a purpose and a destiny for you. It doesn't mean it didn't contain lessons that were good and blessed and wonderful for you. So, yes, to answer your question, yeah, I have tried my best to follow God my whole life, and he has taken me to some interesting places and opportunities that I wouldn't have thought of for myself. I wouldn't have thought of it. You know, I wouldn't have said, I never wrote a list and said, this is what I want to do. God just gave me these open doors, and when he opened them, I followed him through them.
Beautifully put, and I'm so glad that you are spiritual and you are a believer in the God, because I too am, and it makes the interview so much easier for me.
Yeah,
personally.
That it does.
I speak for myself.
You
I
know,
can't
I
speak
meet
for anybody
so many
else
wonderful
but me.
People on my show that believe all kinds of, you know, they believe different manifestations of God, and I learn so much
right.
from them. I always am amazed at how many people are out there in the real world that maybe the news isn't talking about or whatever,
yeah.
who are praying, who are, you know, praising God and worshiping in their own way, however they see fit. And there are
right.
a lot of prayer warriors out there. And that just mm-hmm. encourages me so much.
Right. Me too. What saddens me, and we'll get off of this topic in a minute, I have a lot of, and I'm just going to be, you know, I'm honest. And I'm very,
yes.
I'm honest, and I just tell it the way I see it. If it's
uh-huh.
black, it's black. If it's gray, it's gray. There's no maybe. Most of the men in my life, okay, and I love a man. I do love a man like the next woman. Have a problem with the God. And I have a problem that they have a problem with the God. You know? I'm like, how can you have a problem with this? How can you not worship? How can you not give thanks? How can you really be as so vain as to believe that you and what's in front of you is the only thing in its existence? That's vanity to me. And I don't, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say. The only thing that I can do where they are concerned, and these people are around my life, really around my life, is to live as a power of example. But even living as a power of example for them, they still don't get it, won't get it, and will outwardly, doctor, outwardly denounce the God to me in my face. Whereas I do not, you know, I don't not support their disbelief, all right, but they don't support my belief. And I have a as the host of this show, I'm going to be as so forward as to say, I truly have a problem with that.
Oh.
You know, which brings me to the point that you are a consultant. What type of consultant? What type of consultant? What type of consulting do you engage in?
Well, primarily, I have the joy of speaking to people, groups, corporations, organizations, congregations.
About positive, about what? About God? About positivity? About your music? About what poet? What do you speak? What do you speak to the masses about?
Well, primarily my job is to deliver whatever Creator wants them to hear at that moment. I feel very sincerely that that's it. You know, I don't have a prescribed script, and I only come and talk
so
about
these.
So
let's say the University of Oklahoma decides to hire Dr. Dawn Karima, and they want you to come speak. They don't give you a topic to speak about?
Not at this point in my career. At this point
wow.
in my career, people invite me for me, and they know that what I'm going to share with them will be encouraging and uplifting. So, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, if it's a Native Studies conference, then we'll talk about Native Studies, right? I have a PhD in that.
Okay.
If it's a
okay.
conference for women and children, then we'll talk about positive parenting. If we're talking about most conferences, honestly, they want me to come and encourage the people. Because that's
okay.
a piece that's missing so often. Folks go to a conference, they get a lot of information, they get a lot of knowledge, they get a lot of networking, and they need to leave on a note, just like a spiritual cheerleader, right? You can do this. You can go back out of the conference where everybody's positive and in agreement with you to sort of an environment where maybe everybody's not. And I think sometimes
right.
you just need a spiritual cheerleader. You need someone to come along and say, what's in you? And draw that out of you and encourage you to run on and see what the end is going to be. And so at
right.
this point, that's usually what I'm brought in to do. I'm usually brought in to encourage people to draw on their inner resources, to reach for their spirituality, depending on the organization, of course, and to actually have the courage and the empowerment to take what they're learning back to where they came from and implement it. And sometimes I think we underestimate the power of encouragement. I always tell people, I'm not really sure I do very much. Like, people say, oh, thank you so much. You helped me so much. Thank you for coming. Oh, you changed my life. And I think, I don't know what I just did. But what I realized is what I did was encourage them. And we have a dearth of encouragement. I mean, we have trolls on the internet. We have bullies. We have people putting each other down and being negative and competitive and petty and jealous and You know, we have a lot of that. We don't need any more of that. What we need people to do now at this point, sincerely and genuinely, is say, I believe in you. I believe in what you're doing. I believe you'll do many more great things. I believe you'll succeed in them all. I believe.
Right.
And the person says, well, I don't know. Oh, no, I do believe in you. And encouragement is so great because anyone can do it. We all feel better when the clerk at the store, you know, you go to Walmart or something, Target, whatever, and the clerk is friendly, smiles. We all feel better.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Encouragement is easy. Anyone can do it. You know, it's so wonderful sometimes. I love seeing this on social media when someone will post a picture and everyone posts something great about it. You know, wow, you're stunning, radiant. That takes no more, it takes no more time to post something wonderful and compliment someone than it does to be a troll and insult them.
No, yes,
it's not, you know, you have to choose. So the great thing about what I get to do is I get to go into spaces and places and assess their needs and talk to that organization and find out, what do you need? What's going on? I mean, sometimes people will say our corporate culture, for example, has gotten really competitive. Women are bringing each other down or competing, and everyone's gotten kind of, we need someone to clean that up. And I can do that. Sometimes I'll go to a conference, and people say, we just need folks to leave on a high note, believing that they can do what they've learned to do this week. Spiritual conferences, Christian events, and church services, of course, that's going to be a little different. But I believe this. I believe that if you will open your mouth wide, God will fill it. He'll give you what you're supposed to know and what you're supposed to say at any given time that you need to say it.
Right.
And so I'm always amazed that, you know, people say, oh, do you have an outline? Or what? No, I don't. But what I do have is wisdom, and I'm bringing you that. And I have groups now that invite me back year after year and things like that, and that lets me know that I'm on a good path, and I love it. I really do. And then I come in and do consulting as well. You know, I do have some life coaching clients. I also have businesses that I consult for, social media. I evaluate their brand presence, marketing, demographics, things like that. Or I'll come in and talk about the corporate culture or the message that they're sending through their branding and their advertising. And then, of course, I consult for other nonprofits as well because sometimes they have
good,
needs.
Oh, good, good. Good. I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that. Very glad
yeah.
to hear that.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun
yeah.
because
so
one of the things
me,
I get to do is come in and sprinkle stardust. I
okay,
get to say,
yeah, because it
you
sounds to
this.
Me that you come in and you help shift the consciousness.
Absolutely.
Because it's a shift
change the
of
atmosphere.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, bring the
and
vibration
I get to change
higher.
The atmosphere, and then I get to go home. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna be there necessarily for a lot of the other policy changes and things that happen, but I get the good stuff. Which is basically to encourage and uplift and inspire and allow
right.
people to understand that this is aspirational. We want to do great things. We want to help other people in any
now, do you
capacity
find that you're
that
just as at, do you find that you're just as inspirational within your music and your song, your writing as you are as with your public speaking?
I can't evaluate that because I'm not my reader. I'm not my listener. So I'll just say that the awards speak for themselves, right? The Marriage of Saints was a finalist for the New Mexico Book Award. The Way We Make Sense was a finalist for the Native American First Book Award. You know, so I feel like the Native American Music Award that we won for the Desire of Nations and the Indigenous Music Award nomination and then two Global Music Awards for the Stars of Heaven and the Desire of Nations, I'll just take that. I'll just say
okay.
that when we win Best Gospel, Best Inspirational at the Native American Music Awards and we're nominated for Best Gospel Inspirational at several other places, I'll just take it. I'll just say, well, good, we're inspiring someone, mission accomplished, you know. But really,
right.
to me, I guess I could evaluate it like what the audience says or the awards say, but really, to me, all I want is well done from God. If I feel like the Creator has given me something to write, to sing, to say, and I did that to the best of my ability, not perfectly necessarily, not
right.
amazingly necessarily, but I did it with the right heart and I did it in the right way, then I'm good with that. If the Creator is happy with me, then I'm happy.
Right.
And then when I see that people are being blessed and healed and delivered and encouraged and set free, then I'm even happier.
Okay. All righty. I just wanted to thank you, and would you be as so kind as to share with us a bit more of your poetry?
I would love to. And I
thank
think
you.
About, you know, all of us today, and every one of us is doing the best we can. I sincerely believe that, because we can't judge what's in somebody else's heart. And so I just want to read the title poem to you from Mother of Nations, from Uttered Chaos Press. It's on its way out, and it'll be released soon. And so I just want to read that to you. Mother of Nations, tracks lead straight to the heart of the matter, songs of the stars made flesh and bone, lamentation lost in the whirlwind, peace since wherever Creator is home, a lullaby spun from the sun and moon crying, sighing, scorching earth as a soulful pyre, turning tides meant to inspire desire. We make a map of the world in the flames of our fire.
Absolutely beautiful. Please tell the audience where they can find you, who you are, and are you coming to New York anytime soon?
No, I'm not. But I tell you what, I have so much loved being with you and sharing with your audience, your friends that listen. And I thank your friends that listen to your show for giving you this wonderful opportunity to share your spirit.
Well, you know,
and
you need to thank my producer. You need to thank my producer.
Yeah, her producer is dynamic, and I really appreciate
awesome.
Her producer very much.
And
really.
She's also an author.
Mm-hmm.
She's an African-American, beautiful, intelligent, wise, kind. If I tell you this is one of the kindest spirits in my life, I truly mean that. And to our creator, I'm grateful to have her in my life. You need for you to tell us your credentials and what's happening with you and your book and everything one more time because
All right, I'd love to.
Yeah.
First of all, if you want to hear me, you can hear me anytime, A Conversation with Dawn Karima. TalkTainmentRadio.com, that's on internet radio, actually syndicated radio stations, and they have a wonderful podcast archive. You can listen to me all night long if you want to, podcast after podcast. And you can, of course, find us on iTunes and all those great podcast places as well. If you need music in your life, I would be happy if you would hear me sing. The worship, the wonderful praise, the wonderful encouragement that you'll find in this music, it's just going to be a blessing. The holidays are coming up. You can buy some for everyone you love, too. The Desire of Nations, you can find that at iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. It won the Native American Music Award for Best Gospel, Best Inspirational. You can find The Stars of Heaven, which was nominated for an Indigenous Music Award, and both of them have won Global Music Awards as well. You can find both of my CD projects at iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, Whispering Wind, WrittenHeritage.com. Any place they sell music, we're pretty much there. And it's Dr. Dawn Karima, K-A-R-I-M-A. So K-A-R-I-M, as in Mary, A. So I'm easy to find. I have a Facebook page that you can like. Just like it. Oh, and you'll get inspiration right then and there. You can find me on Instagram. Oh, and see all the pictures of all the good things that happen and inspiring stuff and just encouragement anytime, day or night. Dawn Karima, also on Twitter. And again, we have a new book coming out, Uttered Chaos Press, Mother of Nations. And you can find my Kindle book, What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do, on Amazon Kindle. Just go to Amazon.
Now that book I would love to get.
Yeah, you got to get it. Because, see, the thing is, don't wait till you have an emergency. Read it now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, if you have a crisis, please read it. But don't wait till you have a crisis to read it. And get it for those family and friends that text you at crazy hours of the night. What should I do? Here you go. Read this. It has actual life coaching exercises in it that you can do that will help you be guided and led toward good decisions and wise lesson learning and how we can not get in this mess again.
Right.
I think you'll like it. And it's so, you know, it's a few bucks. And yet there's some really wonderful things that might help you help somebody else as well. So I am pretty easy to find. One of the great things, I think, is that across the brand, it's inspirational. If you're inspired by my music, you'll be inspired by my radio show. If you're inspired by my radio show, oh, then my books will inspire you. So you can always count on it being encouraging and uplifting and motivational and an oasis of love.
Dr. Dawn, Karima, I want to thank you once again on behalf of me and my producer, Miss Shemaine Canton. Thank you.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgets.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.